From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Just back from McMinnville, Oregon at the McMinniman's UFO Festival. Now, you try saying those two names every day while I was out there. But it was a great time, great coast-to-coast listeners, and the event was absolutely superb. And we were in a great parade there going down McMinnville, 5,000 people strong, lining the streets, waving and cheering, all coast-to-coast fans. Good time. Happy Victoria Day to our Canadian friends. And by the way, those of you having trouble hearing us in the New York area during football nights and baseball nights, well, we've got two new AM stations for you to hear us. WOBM AM 1160 and WADB AM 1310. They're both out of New Jersey, but that will help you for a while during the baseball moments. A Connecticut dentist, by the way, with a shady past of malpractice, has had his license suspended after a patient died as he attempted to pull 20 teeth in a single visit from a 64-year-old grandmother with prior health issues. Dr. Rashmi Patel's assistant begged him to stop the dental work being performed on Judith Gann as the patient gurgled and lost consciousness during the procedure, which included placing implants in the woman's mouth after removing the teeth. What an unbelievable story. Around 250 corpses donated to the medical science were being stored in a basement at Madrid's university after being used for teaching purposes by anatomy students. The gruesome discovery was revealed in Spain's daily El Mundo newspaper, which published a very graphic picture showing shriveled and dissected corpses piled up in a storeroom. The newspaper described the discovery as a scene from a horror film and reported that mummified bodies and parts of bodies were stored in conditions without any means of identifying them. The U.S. military has now doubled the number of aircraft standing by in Italy, if needed, to evacuate Americans from the U.S. embassy in Tripoli, Libya. A decision to evacuate as violence in the Libyan capital grows is minute by minute, hour by hour. Fierce fighting swept across the city after armed men stormed the country's interim parliament. Sporadic bursts of gunfire and blasts could still be heard on the outskirts of the capital on Monday evening. The violence appeared to be some of the worst since the 2011 revolution that ousted and killed longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi. And the Thai army, Thailand, says that it is imposing martial law amid a political crisis to preserve law and order. The army has also granted itself wide-ranging powers to enforce that decision. The military, which last took power in 2006, stated that the move, which gives the army control of nationwide security, was not a coup. Let's check in with the expert on world affairs, Craig Hewlett. Craig, what's going on this planet these days? My gosh.
Starting to sound like birth pangs, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is. And, you know, I've got a story in front of me that's been developing, and it's not getting a lot of play in the American press, but it's getting a lot of play in Europe and the Balkan areas. But Joe Hunter Biden and a gentleman by the name of Devin Archer, son of Joe Biden, the senator, a friend of John Kerry, stepson of John Kerry's own, all being appointed to Burisma, one of the largest natural gas producers and pipeline producers in the Ukrainian region, all while John Kerry and Joe Biden are leading the charge in the Ukraine to unseat the Russians and put in power people that are favorable to Western oil interests. If we aren't an oligarchy, what are we?
And it doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. And I wanted to ask you this about Libya, by the way. You know, Muammar Gaddafi was not a Boy Scout. There's no question about that. But, you know, he kind of tempered things for a long, long time. They didn't have this kind of violence until he was ousted. Were we behind that, too?
Oh, yeah, we were definitely behind ousting him. There's no question, just like we're behind the attempt to oust Assad of Syria. The saddest thing about Gaddafi is at the time, I was on an airplane flying to Los Angeles to give a lecture and I was reading a new issue of Foreign Affairs, and Muammar Gaddafi was at the time being praised in Foreign Affairs. That's the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a quarterly journal on foreign relations. And they were praising him for all the changes he's made, the efforts to unify 9 member states in the northern region of Africa, water rights, land rights, democracy. The UN was giving him an award. And while I'm reading this article, it came on the screen, and I picked up and I plugged it into my ear on the plane, and here we were overthrowing Muammar Gaddafi. It's just hideous the way America, or I should say the oligarchy that rules America now, it's hideous how we're treating the world.
Craig, keep your eyes on these events for us, and let's check in a little bit later with you. Investigations were underway into a rash of major fires that destroyed dozens of homes and businesses last week as they raged over tens of thousands of acres throughout the San Diego area. The blazes, which erupted amid powerful Santa Ana winds, triple-digit temperatures, and extremely dry ground cover, scorching about 1,500 acres before being declared fully contained Sunday night. And, you know, we did our consciousness experiment again on Friday, trying to get it to rain. And lo and behold, there is some drizzle going on now in the San Diego area. We've got a picture of the radar up there at coasttocoastam.com. Go take a look at that. Kraft is recalling 1.2 million cases of cottage cheese that could spoil prematurely and cause illness. The recall involves Knutson, Breakstone, Simply Kraft, and Daily Chef brands. The ingredients used in nearly 36 cottage cheese products were not properly stored in a California facility. It's widely used nationwide as a germ-killing ingredient in soaps, deodorants, and even toothpaste. But it's being banned in Minnesota. They're smart. Governor Mark Dayton signed a bill to make Minnesota the first state to prohibit the use of triclosan in most retail consumer hygiene products. The food industry should be regulated like the tobacco industry, as obesity poses a great global health risk than cigarettes. According to international groups, Consumer International and the World Obesity Foundation are calling for the adoption of more stringent rules. Let's check in with food safety coach Jeff Nelken. Jeff, do you think they should regulate food like that, just like tobacco?
Well, you know, when you start looking at the history of the foods that are being produced in the United States and you go back 20, 30, 40 years ago, we were putting in 30% more sugar into a lot of foods compared to the Europeans, and the same thing with saturated fat. So we've been overloaded with a lot of items that have been detrimental and contributed to the obesity problem. Even though the obesity problem, you know, requires a lot of education every step of the way, but we're certainly not being helped by false advertising. And you'll notice a lot of the fast food companies now are starting to integrate into their menus, you know, safe, you know, low-calorie items, because they know the truth, you know, has been exposed, and they're going to have to pay attention to healthier, you know, lifestyle and choices of foods on the menus as one step, because they know that there are going to be lawsuits coming just like they had in the cigarette industry.
Absolutely. You can track Jeff's work, by the way, foodsafetycoach.com. If you're into horse racing, New York racing officials have decided to allow 3-year-old California Chrome to wear a breathing strip during the June 7th Belmont Stakes, where he will run for one of the rarest achievements in big money sports, the Triple Crown. How exciting will that be if he wins? Fossilized bones of a dinosaur, believed to be the largest creature ever to walk the planet, have been unearthed in Argentina. We've got that story for you in the news. Based on its huge thigh bones, listen to this. It was 130 feet long and 65 feet tall. Can you imagine a dinosaur that big? 65 feet tall. Wow. In a moment, as I got an email today from an individual who says, George, we need some miracles on this planet. So I thought we'd check in with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's an expert on miracles, and you know what? Maybe we can conjure a few up next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and if you are brand new to the program, you are in for one heck of a ride tonight. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, one of the leading researchers, authors in the paranormal and metaphysical fields. Her very multifaceted work includes all kinds of entity contact experiences, interdimensional portals, ghosts, mysterious creatures. She's written more than 50 books, and I should say she wrote one with me called Talking to the Dead, including single-volume encyclopedias in a wide range of subjects. She's been a consulting editor, by the way, of the very excellent Fate magazine as well. And tonight, we're going to talk about why we need a miracle. Rosemary, we need them now. Now!
We need a lot of miracles, George, and you know, we can create them. We just have to figure out the mechanism and do it.
You know, I came back from an event. I was in McMinnville, Oregon this weekend, and, you know, talking to a large crowd in this meet and greet. And, I mean, it's almost universal. They're all tired of government meddling. They're tired of being lied to. They're just, as we talked about in the movie Network, you know, where Peter Finch came out playing the part of Howard Beale, just saying, look, leave us alone. And people are looking for that now. And I got an email today from an individual, and that was the reason why we decided to bring you on today. And he said, George, we got to have some miracles on this planet. We need to change things. And you know, he's right, Rosemary.
People are tired of being buffeted by things that they feel they ought to be able to manage, but seem to be beyond their control all the time. And well, we get hit economically, we get hit by adverse weather, we get hit by political things with chaos and turmoil, and a lot of us are feeling victimized. And we can affect all kinds of positive change in the world, and it is through the force of miracles. We need to educate ourselves on miracles, redefine our views on miracles. They're not things that just happen every now and then at the grace of God. Divine power is very much part of it. But we are participants in this ability, and we can do a lot on our end to change forces in motion, to literally bring more miracles into the world.
I was just going to ask you that, too. It's not all spiritual. It's not all religious. You can get miracles accomplished just by, you know, bringing this from within you.
Well, traditionally, we have had the view in the West that miracles are divine intervention.
Right.
They are a sign of God's providence in the world. God bestows favors. When God decides it's time for a miracle, that's when they happen. But in other spiritual and religious and philosophical systems, miracles are a part of the natural world. They are very much a part of divine providence, but we have a much stronger role in them. They are part of the outflow of all the forces in motion that hold everything together in harmony. And we need to understand that we can create miracles on various levels, not just big things like Moses parting the Red Sea, but everyday miracles. And our view of them, of course, is rather subjective. You know, a miracle for one person is an amazing turn of events, unexpected events mm-hmm. that really make an impact in life. Then there are miracles on a larger scale where things happen on a much grander scale, like the water that you were talking about earlier, you know, making it rain in the San Diego
yeah.
area.
When people ask for miracles, what are they doing in this method of trying to get a miracle to occur? What are they trying to summon up? How does that seem to work? I mean, like my mass consciousness experiments. If it rains, to me, it's a miracle. But what caused that?
When people look for miracles, most of us are going to pray to God for help. You know, please, God, do this for us, do this for me. And that is a very powerful force because we are we're sending an intention of our emotions, our thoughts, our literally our heart's desires out into the cosmos and asking for a response from the divine. And that's a key fundamental to the manifestation of miracles. And we have to have intense emotion. We have to have focused thought. And we have to be able to project that in alignment with cosmic forces. And that's when miracles happen. We align ourselves with divine power, the power to create, the power to manifest. And when we hit that right combination, that's when miracles occur. When more people participate in something like the group experiment that you were talking about concerning the rain, the force is magnified that much more. So unified thought has a terrific power to bring substantial change that can override a lot of these forces that literally are being imposed upon us.
If one were to say to you, what is a miracle? Define it. What would you say?
It's the technical definition of miracle would be a wonderful thing. It comes from a Latin term, miraculum, and it can also mean a marvel or something to marvel at. And most people consider a miracle to be any event that is beyond natural explanation. For some people, a miracle is a grace, a turning point, something that rescues them from a crisis or a bad situation. And when we look at the different kinds of things that people define as miracles, we go back to this fundamental of intense emotion. Sometimes miracles are generated in a crisis. People find themselves in a life-threatening situation. They have an intense emotional outburst response and sometimes a very quick prayer for some sort of salvation or solution. And we have cases of divine rescue, what's described as divine rescue. The hand of God comes in, or an angelic figure, or something totally unexpected. Intense emotion. Sometimes people are in need of healing, and they pray intensely for healing. They visualize that healing. Intense emotion. People need change in their lives. This marshaling of thought and intention and projection of these energies, it has a very strong emotional base to it. So we need to raise our emotional level when we are seeking significant change, when we're trying to marshal these miraculous forces.
When these forces are summoned up, and as you said, during a crisis, for example, they tend to be, you know, they tend to be there. Can they also occur, though, you know, just in your general, you know, day-to-day walk of life?
Miracles occur every day, and it's a matter of perspective. Every day people have situations that are surprising to them, a turn of events that they didn't expect. And maybe they don't realize how they helped to bring those circumstances about through some of their own intention projection. We participate in this wide a range of forces in motion, and forces in motion head toward probable outcomes, and some of them change along the way and events don't happen, and then some of them do manifest. We've all heard of cases, for example, when people have had negative things happen to them by constant negative thinking, and it's not as simplistic as that. If it were easy to think things into being, the world would be a very different place. And a lot of times when people try to marshal their intention and their positive thinking, they don't do it enough or in a concentrated enough way that something comes to pass. So we're still learning. I think we're in very early stages here, learning what it takes to align ourselves, our own consciousness, with divine forces, the forces in motion that carry us to a desired outcome. All of the spiritual traditions around the world, all of the religions, have as principles that thought manifests. Mm-hmm. And positive thinking, meditative thought, prayerful thought are ways to bring about desired change into the world. And we're in such an environment of chaos so much of the time that it's very hard for us to get a bead on things.
That's so true. Rosemary, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM as we continue talking about miracles. Maybe how do you manifest them? How do you do that? Rosemary's website, by the way, visionaryliving.com. I'm George Norrie, and we will be right back on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley as we talk miracles. Rosemary, do some miracles occur in one's dream state?
They most definitely can, George. There are many miracles of healing in dreams that have been documented. And there's something about perhaps our dreaming state of consciousness that does go beyond the physical realm into other realities. And it seems that in this state, we can often access some of these forces in motion in ways that we can't during waking consciousness. Perhaps we have too many barriers going when we're awake. But there are many cases where people in dire health crises have been literally healed overnight by some miraculous event in their dreams. And the dreams might reveal an infusion of incredible energy that they feel in the dream and feel upon awakening, and then there is the medical verification of a disappearance of their symptoms or their disease. Sometimes healing figures like religious figures, angels, saints, will come in the dream and deliver the healing. These sorts of miraculous healings have been documented since ancient times.
Why is it that some miracles will occur for someone and they won't appear for somebody else?
That's the big question, because many people pray for change and many people pray for miracles and they do not happen. Of course, we have to consider that there may be karmic factors involved in what's occurring in somebody's life. There may be countering forces that make it difficult or impossible for them to access the right sort of energy, so to speak. And sometimes we often want one thing and then manage to undercut ourselves in various ways, even subconsciously. So pictures can get very complicated as to why some people receive miracles and other people don't. I do want to comment on several things going on a large scale that I see happening, and that's goes back to the person who wrote the email to you saying, you know, we really need some big miracles here, and we do. Well, we are constantly being bombarded with fear-based thinking, and this is the sort of thinking that prevents us from accessing these manifesting powers that we all have. If you break people financially, and people have been broken financially for some years now, they are plunged into fear-based thinking. If you break their health through contamination of food, of additive, chemical additives that lead to disease conditions, people don't have the internal resources to marshal much of anything. If you break their will through oppression, through robbing them of their rights and their self-determination, an erosion of rights, such as we have seen in this country, this encourages fear-based thinking. And I think the powers that be, so to speak, whoever they are, governing global matters, they understand quite well the collective power, manifesting power, of united thought and intention, and this is the power of miracles. And if you keep people distracted and disconnected and in chaotic states of mind and living, then they'll never be able to organize anything on any significant level to counteract the manipulative things that are going on. People first have to understand how to change things within their own sphere. I think that, you know, tackling things in your own personal life, much easier to do than trying to jump in and affect things on a big scale. Individuals would have a hard time changing large-scale forces in motion in small numbers or by themselves. But in a collective, in a group, then it becomes much more feasible. And this has been demonstrated by experiments in the 1980s, the transcendental meditation folks did. The premise being that if sufficient number of people got together and did transcendental meditation, they would see a drop in crime rates, more advantageous weather conditions, more social harmony and things of that sort. Well, that's just one aspect of it. It doesn't have to be transcendental meditation. It can be united thought forces coming together in various sorts of ways. The pros and cons of that are, well, that'd be great if we had a world where we could do, like global meditations and really see a significant change in something. The cons are, there's always going to be some sort of oppressors who would seek to manipulate that.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Are there any just incredible miracle stories that have hung on through the ages that you could relate to us?
Well, certainly we have the Bible to look to as a very good source for the signs and wonders. The Old Testament and the New Testament are full of miraculous stories that defy modern description. Moses, for example, was one of the greatest wonder workers of all. And in the New Testament, all the things that Jesus did, multiplying food, miraculously healing people, walking on water. And his message was that you can do this too. If you have the right faith, you can do this too. And this was a message that the apostles did try to take out to the masses. For reasons that we may never understand, this really didn't capture, it didn't take hold in the mass consciousness. But this message can be found in all spiritual traditions. Miraculous healings at sacred sites, Lourdes, for example, where people have gone to be healed in the waters, and there's no rational medical reason why they should be healed, but they are. We have so many cases like these that are documented over and over again throughout the ages, and yet the average person doesn't seem to be able to apply these things to their own individual life. We still look at miracles as something that happens to you from the outside if you're lucky. And we have more of a control factor than we realize.
What's the difference, Rosemary, between a miracle and luck?
You know, I think it's a matter of semantics and terminology, because luck could certainly be viewed as a type of miracle. And I think we all know people who just seem to be born under that lucky sign or lucky star. You know, whatever they set out to do, they accomplish. If good things are going to happen, it's going to happen to them. They're the ones who win the drawings, win the lotteries, have seemingly favors dropped in their lap. And it may be something that they're putting out in their energy field. It may be a fundamental view toward life. The person who's able to manifest miracles is able to marshal emotional intensity toward living, and this is a positive emotional intensity toward living, toward achieving their goals. This person is usually able to maintain an optimistic, happy frame of mind and feel in concert with all the beneficial forces in the universe.
When someone has been evil, can they call up miracles too? Will they happen for that individual?
I believe that there's a dark side to this ability, too. Everything has its good and bad element. And the force of miracles, it's a force. And as a force, it really doesn't have, it's neither good nor evil. It's a force that can be applied toward good or evil. So a very powerful person who understands the force of miracles would be able to turn that in a negative way.
Do you remember when we were going to do that Ouija board experiment?
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, and you were in favor of it. Jordan Maxwell was opposed to it, and I believe it was Bruce Goldberg who was on the fence. If we were to do it today, what would you advise me to do? Go for it or not?
It's, you know, that's a, it's kind of a tricky situation, George. I think the Ouija board is a neutral device, and it's misused, and, you know, the board itself is not going to guarantee that you're going to have a bad experience, but people do have bad experiences. But let's take a look at what happened to the collective thought and forces in motion on that, because when you first announced that experiment, there were a lot of people very much in favor of it. There were some people who, of course, were opposed. Oh, no, it's you're going to risk people being possessed and having bad things happen. But a lot of people were in favor. Yeah, let's see what happens. And the closer you got to the actual event, the more fear-based thinking kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could see this. Almost every night in the show, as callers would call in, you know, George, don't do it. It's going to be a big disaster. And this was a contaminating thing. I think it spread like a virus.
Well, and you saw me go from, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, this is going to be an interesting little experiment, to where I changed right then at that moment when we were about ready to do it. I decided I'm not going through with this.
It really was the right decision. And I think that had we done the experiment, my biggest worry was that the board wouldn't say much of anything. But had we done the experiment, no matter what would have happened, that fear-based thinking would have spiraled even more in that direction. And it would have people would have projected that onto all kinds of negative things. They would have taken their manifesting power and used it in a negative way. So it really, unfortunately, was the right decision to not pursue it. But it was the fear-based thinking of the people who were anticipating this that led to it.
Is it possible that these miracles can be controlled by an individual, so that they're so powerful that they can manifest them, they can direct them, they can create them?
Well, theoretically, yes. And Jesus would be an example of that. What Jesus directed his power toward was accomplished. And again, that was his message, was that if you have the right faith, you are capable of doing this too. Do not think that this is beyond you. He had a highly refined level of ability. I think it's going to be quite some time before human beings in general can marshal that kind of miracle at will sort of energy. But we do technically have that capability. There are mystics who have addressed this throughout the ages as well. One of my favorite being Sri Aurobindo, who talked about the supermind, and that in the future, if human beings continue to evolve and, you know, we don't, you know, obliterate ourselves off the planet, that we would evolve toward this supermind where we would manifest these, what we now would now call superpowers, and which are part of the yogic path, which would be like the ability to levitate, to manage your body temperature, clairvoyance, telepathy, all of these superpowers, not in order to have them and manipulate them for the sake of it, but as part of our spiritual development. This in turn would change the physical body as well. And he said, however, the supermind is going to be a long time coming, because it's going to take a significant unison of human consciousness. And it's also going to happen at a very deep cellular level for us. And he talked a lot about this, the consciousness of the cells, that our thoughts, our intentions, the way we live, accumulates throughout history, and it becomes deeply embedded in the cells that we literally pass on through our genes. So he did have a program of meditation that was aimed at changing the consciousness of the cells. And his companion, the mother, continued that after his death. I do believe that this is the level we're going to have to get at if we are going to be able to manifest major miracles on demand, especially without some extremely large group consciousness.
We are with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and we're talking about manifesting miracles. Does that individual need special training in order to manifest a miracle?
It certainly helps, George. The more we condition ourselves through training our thoughts, aligning ourselves to the forces of the divine, to the unconditional love that really holds everything together in the cosmos, the better able we are to manage these energies, so to speak. So systems of meditation are good to undertake. If people just engage in some prayer and meditation every day and contemplation of what is it that I would like to accomplish, and more conscious awareness of the thoughts that go through their head every day, and so that they can constantly turn around any, you know, negative thinking. As I mentioned earlier, it's not as simplistic as just, you know, think happy, be happy, and wonderful things will happen. But that's a fundamental principle behind the refinement of this miracle mind consciousness.
Well, there's no question about it. If people want to truly engage themselves with miracles, what's the first thing you think they should do? They don't necessarily have to be spiritual, do they?
Well, there's
that
a
helps.
Different. It certainly helps, and I've always made a distinction between being religious and being spiritual, because there are many people who will tell you this, and I've heard it so many times over the years. I'm a deeply spiritual person, but I'm not necessarily religious.
Right.
It is important to have a spiritual foundation, to have some sense of connection to the divine, whatever that is, whether or not you're a regular churchgoer, you belong to a particular faith, or you simply believe that there is a universal consciousness, a universal mind, a divine force that is operating in the cosmos, sort of binding everything together, and ultimately is propelled toward good. And that unconditional love is a very strong part of that. So having that connection is very important, and that really is only fostered through a daily practice of some sort, even a few minutes of prayer. People pray in different ways. Some people pray non-specifically for the greater good to manifest. Some people pray for specifics. Both are very effective. Different types of meditation. Spending some time contemplating where you're going, you know, what you want to accomplish in life, where you're going, how you're going to get there, and what sorts of things can you do to help bring that into being. Action is always part of it. Thought is an incredible manifesting power, but action, it has to be followed with action. And then we also have to live a righteous life, the virtues.
We sure do. Rosemary, we're going to come back and take some miracle questions and stories with you next.